الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, around 1981, Allah Ta'ala gave me the blessings and the grace to make Hajj with Hazrat Ji Mawla Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh in Mina. Not far away from his tent was the tent of Hazrat Mawla Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Al-Mu'ala Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh would make a point of visiting Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh approximately every day around 9-10 o'clock, and there would be a sitting there, and then after the sitting we would also be very anxious to accompany Mu'ala Abrarul Sahib to his tent. So Mu'ala Abrarul Sahib Rahmatullah was accompanied, and as he had moved to his tent, his pillow was laid and he slept quite tight, mashallah. With all this happening, the movement in Mina, we saw an old person. He looked perhaps like an Iraqi or an Iranian. He's crawling, quite an old person crawling, and he came to the pillow of Mu'ala Abrarul Sahib on the other end. He put his head down. اور اسی وقت خدا کے پیارے ہو گئے, straight passed away. Mu'ala Abrarul Sahib doesn't know anything. He's sleeping on this side, this person is dead. We've seen the whole scene. Anyway, what I wish to impress upon you, the suddenness of death. You came in, we watched, we saw, man came in, and then within minutes, he's gone. So this is life. A man had three sons. So he's approaching death and he calls the elder son and he says to the elder son, you know what I have done for you. I have given my blood for you. I have given my sweat for you. I was disconcerned about haram and halal for you. I had made overseas trips for you. I had fought for you, I had defended you, I had given my blood for you, my respect and my izzat for you. I have done everything for you. Just for your comfort, just for your security, there wasn't a thing that I didn't do. I did everything for you. I taken a facility from the bank, I tried to legitimize things, tried to make things permissible, just for your comfort. Now you know how much I have done for you. I was sleepless at night, sleepless, tossing around just to see that you are secure. I had actually fought with people, my own brothers I had separated from, only for you. And now you see my condition, my present halat. And I want to know from you that in a day's time or so I will be no more. What are you going to do for me? The fact that I've done so much for you, and what are you going to be doing for me? Saman is so baras ka pal ki khabar nahi. We have accumulated for hundreds of years, but we do not know the next moment what's going to happen. You know, about a month or 2 months ago, there was a phone coming in from some distant place. I won't say the name of the town. Man asked over the phone that a woman has passed away in the state of Janabat. She needed a compulsory bath. What is the procedure? Explained all that. And then he says to me, it was my wife, and just an hour ago I was intimate with her, and an hour later she's gone. The suddenness of death, when he's going to strike, how he's going to strike, who he's going to strike, nobody knows. Khalifa Mansur is the contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, coming around the first century Islam. He had seen Malakul Maut in his dream. So the obvious question is, when is my turn? Obviously, if you see Malakul Maut, what you'll ask him? You don't ask him how much you're going to get tomorrow, what's my luck, what's my fortune. The obvious question is, kab tak mera waqt kab aayega? When is my turn? So Malakul Maut just did this. Ishare se baat ho gayi. Ishare se baat ho gayi. Just did this. Five. So on the lighter side, Mullah Abdul Piazza was one of the chosen people of Shah Jahan, right? It was the time of the Shias. So they said they're going to engage in a debate. So who are they going to fight with? They're going to fight with Mullah Abdul Piazza. So the Iranian Alim came from that side, the Mujtahid came from this side, and this side was Mullah Abdul Piazza. So the Iranian insisted that the debate is going to take place with isharas, with signs, you know. No words will be used, but in signs, sign language will be fighting. So anyway, the Iranian Alim, he did this. Responding to him, Mullah Abdul Piazza did this. Anyway, after that, the Iranian Alim, he took out an egg, you know. And this Mullah Abdul Piazza, he took out an onion. So the debate ended. The Iranian Alim said, this person is too smart for me. So why you say, what happened exactly? He says, you know what, this Panchtan, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, five. So in response to that, he said this. What he meant is all the Sahabite Kiram are together. Like Hassan, Hussein, radiyallahu anhu, Afo, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that all the Sahaba Kiram, they have the same spirit, the same love, the same spirit. So he got me there. They went and asked Mullah Abdul Piazza, but you know, he showed this five finger and you did this. So what you meant? He said, no, me tamasha marunga, me to tumhe marunga. I'll give you a slap. He meant something totally different. So he took out an egg. And this person took out an onion. He's too smart for me. Says the shape of the earth is oval, you see. So he showed the egg. So this person showed the onion. Said, yes, the earth is in layers. One layer and the second layer, you know, granite, etc. All these layers we have in the earth. So this is what he meant. When I asked Mullah Abdul Piazza what you meant, he said, no. He said, I got an egg. So he said, no, you know, the egg is not smart without an onion. So, ishare se baat ho gayi. Anyway, Malakul Maut, he just did this, five. So when he did this five, Now, Mansur, the king, now he got up excited, worried, what does it mean? So he asked the ulama around. Someone said 5 weeks left, someone said 5 days, someone said 5 months, someone said 5 years. Came to Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So obviously that's a genius of the time. Of times, in fact. You can't find a person like him. Like you can't find a person like Imam Bukhari, after Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi. You can't find, the world can't produce someone. Allah Ta'ala wills, nothing is beyond his capacity. But the world couldn't produce someone like that. So Imam sahab rahmatullah says that the ghaib is with Allah Ta'ala. All the knowledge of the unseen. When we say ghaib, what we mean? That is not accessible. We can't access that ilm with our senses or with any science. We can't access that knowledge. So that is called the ilm ghaib. We can't access it. But in the ilm ghaib, man is very anxious to know about five things. Mada taksibu ghada, what will I earn tomorrow? Will I be a prosperous person? Will I suffer in this investment of mine? I'm doing this. What will things turn out? How the market will be tomorrow? What will be these investments like? And what will be my health like? What will be my child like? Will he be prosperous, etc.? So people want to know this. Everybody, who says that he doesn't want to know? I made this now. I want to know what will happen after this. Right? How long am I going to live? So everybody wants to know what am I going to earn for the next day. He wants to know what is this future like. So Allah Ta'ala says, as anxious as you are, but you cannot make out what is the future. What the future holds for you, nobody can make out. What is for me, what is for you, nobody knows. You know, my mind is just talking my mind now. One sahabi, or was it a tabi, pious person. So, he said, I am a non-Arab, you know. Being a non-Arab, I'm living here in Medina, and I wish to propose. But perhaps they won't look at me very, very positively, so I want you to make a recommendation for me. Told an Arab sahabi, you make a recommendation for this girl. It's all right. Kisi ka kaam ban jata ho, someone's work, someone's need is fulfilled. What's better? Allahu fi auni abdihi, ma dam al abdu fi auni akhi. As long as you are in the service of your brother, Allah Ta'ala will help you out. So let me see if I could do something for you. Now he goes in and he comes out with a delay, with a lot of embarrassment on his face. Like, waqia, what happened? I'm too embarrassed. But really, what happened? He says, you know, when I made the recommendation for you, so they turned the recommendation. Say, he's a non-Arab, so maybe there won't be the compatibility. But we want to confirm it for you. We want to confirm the proposal for you. So, all right, I'm in for marriage as well. I can't say now, not now, I'll see later. I can't play a game here. Yeah? I'm also in line for marriage. So they did the marriage already, they did the nikah already. So I'm feeling so embarrassed. Now this sahaba that asked, that do this recommendation for me, he said, I must make istighfar and tawbah. I must be regretful, I must be remorseful, not you. Because this girl was meant for you, and why did it come to my heart, why did it occur to me, that I must make a proposal for her? I shouldn't have made that, I should have made istikhara, made a lot of dua. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala would have shown me that this is not for you, not meant for you. Now I went and asked for something that was decreed for you. Now let's extend the same analogy and see. You got a business, he opens up a business, what happens? You're proposing, you think like it's happening, and the next person takes it, what happens? You don't want to talk to the person for the rest of time. So he stabbed me in the back. You were anxious for this person, and it happened for that person. Something happened for, moved away from you and went to the next person. Can't we think like this, that it was not meant for me, it won't happen. It was meant for him, it happened for him. Allahumma la mani alima atait, wa la mu'ti alima manat. It's a dua that we're supposed to be reciting after every namaz. And I tell you, there's so much of comfort in this dua, so much of comfort. But really, the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam don't mean much to us. So we don't take some comfort from him. We rather go to a psychiatrist or psychologist and get some comfort from him But the Mubarak du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't mean much, so we don't take it that serious. Whereas there's so much of comfort, so much of ease, so much of fulfillment and satisfaction in the Mubarak wordings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, as far as these five things are concerned, Allah Ta'ala says that as anxious as you are to know the future, but I've concealed, I've blocked it off. When it's going to rain, where you're going to die, when you're going to die, what is in the womb, etc. The details from the time of conception till delivery, who could say that they know it? From the time of conception, the woman has conceived, right till delivery, can you see, give all the details. So, that knowledge is exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not shared that knowledge with anybody. As anxious as you are, but I'm not going to share this knowledge with anybody, Allah Pak says. When is Qiyamah going to take place? And really, concealing and blocking this knowledge away really is a blessing. Imagine if everybody knew the future, will there be any challenge? I know what's the future like. He knows, everybody knows. So there's no challenge. The challenge comes when you don't know what's the future and you're working, striving. I don't know, I'm going to die now, tomorrow. You don't know anything about it. If it was shown to you, it was told to you that you're going to die at this date, at this time, at this place, right? I ask you, would there have been any pleasure in life? People have gone in extremes. What would happen? What would have happened? One person would say, hey, there's no joy. I'm going to die now. He'll be counting the days. Wherever he is, there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no cheer in him. And the other person will become totally complacent. I know I've got 10 years. So he'll become totally complacent. Now you don't know when the time is going to come. So you know it's going to come tomorrow, today, tonight. When is it going to happen? Allah Pak knows. So you're going to be striving. You're going to be working for it. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, we'll come back to this story inshallah. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he's the king of Balkh. And around that time, Balkh was extremely wealthy, very, very wealthy, prosperous. How you have Dubai, you know, it was a shopping spot, trade port. It was like a trade port for the whole world. It was like a trade port. So minerals and the richest, everything they had. Ibrahim bin Adham is also around the 2nd century, rahmatullahi. So he's, these kings and monarchs, they have a sitting with their advisors and ministers, etc., daily. Complaints, problems, etc., discussions, whatever they need to be attending to. So he's seated on his throne, and he's consulting. In the meanwhile, there's one person, his face looks very awesome, and he breaks the whole crowd, breaks the security, bypasses the security, comes straight to Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, and tells him, in fact asked him, I want to book in your inn, your B&B, BB. I want to book in your BB, bed and breakfast. What's wrong with you? This looks like a bed and breakfast. This is Ibrahim bin Adham's palace. What is wrong with you? It's all right. I want to know from you, who was sitting on this throne before you? My father, before him, my grandfather, and before that, so forth and so on. Great-grandfather, etc. And after you, who's going to be sitting on the same place? My child, my son, and then my grandson, and so forth and so on. So, well then, this is not a palace. It is an inn. One person is booking in, one is booking out. One is coming in, one is coming out. Nobody is here permanent. Nobody can say that I am sitting here, I am here forever. This just shook Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He says, no, enough is enough. See, bare logo ka dil bhi bara hota hai. People that are great, great, and their hearts are magnanimous, they think also serious. Chote logo ka dil bhi chota hota hai. You're small and your heart is also very small. Small things begin to hurt you. Why he said this and why that person responded like that? And why this person did this? So everything begins to become a disturbance for you. Everything begins to annoy you. Big people, no, they when they think big. They think big and they think great. Ibrahim bin Adham thought about the whole thing for a night or so. This is not on. Because we're looking for comfort so that comfort can continue. But if it is that I'm going to be here, then I'm going to move out, then I need to look for comfort somewhere else. Then real comfort is not here. Because I'm going to be here for a few days, and then I'm going to be moving out. Then that means that this is not real comfort. It's just a hotel you're booking in, and you're out thereafter. So I will need to look for the permanent comfort, permanent ease and permanent comfort. You know, in this day and time, there's so much about material. For every material thing, you want a cover. Medical cover, motor car cover, house insurance, business insurance, credit insurance, everything you want a cover. But a simple question I ask, that do we have a funeral cover? Do we have a qabr cover? The darkness in the qabr, do we have a light, a cover for the light? The loneliness in the qabr, do we have a cover for the loneliness? There's no food around there. Do we have a cover for the food in the qabr? It's a home, it's a place of termites, worms, snakes, etc. Do we have any cover for that, against that? Any immunity against that? It's a place of total loneliness. And this death comes so sudden, you know. It's like just closing your eyes, you close your eyes, and there you either in Jannat or Jahannam. Fariqun fil Jannah wa fariqun fil Sa'ir. Just a moment, just have to close your eyes, and there you either a Jahannami or a Jannati. It's so sudden. And you do not know when that moment is going to come. But it is so close. It is so close. It is just a matter of you closing your eyes, and there you go on. You are either Jannati, or either you are declared a Jahannami. And at that point, do you realize that my murk has got no value, absolutely. It's lying there. But a whole string of murks here, state of the art, nothing. My investment plans, they mean nothing. My holiday resort doesn't mean anything. My businesses mean nothing to me. My wealth means nothing to me. All the comfort that I have, absolutely valueless. I ask you at that time, that dead person, you ask him, has this got any value in your eyes? No, absolutely no value. So we are so close to it, but we attach our hearts so much to it. So isn't this a fool's paradise? And we're so close to that death, but yet we attach so much of importance, as though كَأَنَّكَ تَعِيشُ أَبَدًا, as though you're going to live and you're going to live permanently. No death for you. In this day, my gut feeling is the need of the time is to think about the akhirat. See, the hadith says, you find the masjids عَمِيرَةٌ وَهِيَ خَرَابٌ. It's flourishing either with musallis or either with the decorations, etc. But it's void of what? So, ulama have given different explanations, but one of the explanations that they have given is that it's void of khushu. Outwardly, there's a lot of musallis, but that khushu, that fikr, that I'm going to die, I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala, that consciousness, that awareness, I'm doing this, I will pay for it like this. There's one step that I'm taking, there's one move that I'm doing, and this is what's going to happen, this is the consequence. Remember, brothers, in this world, as well as the hereafter, there is always a reaction. You got sugar, and you're taking 2 liters of Coke, plus a chocolate, Cadbury chocolate, and you want your sugar not to rise, it doesn't happen. There's going to be a reaction. The medication that you take also has got a reaction. The deed that you do has got a reaction. But just that our eyes are closed, we cannot see now immediately. But genuinely it's got a reaction. Small or big, whatever the action may be, but it's genuinely got a reaction. It's just a matter of time and you'll see it. So, we're talking of Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi alayhi. And then he thought about this very seriously. He said, no, I can't carry on like this. I can't. I need to make up my mind. It's so close. And what preparations, what arrangements have I made? One person is coming in season, summer season, you know, and the fruits are all blooming. So he passed by one of the marketplaces, saw leeches and mangoes, etc. I know in my own house, when the leeches and mangoes come, then everything else is forgotten. The apples and bananas are forgotten for that time. People don't look at it, don't give it that respect after that. After the mango season, then they give it respect again. So now he saw that mangoes and the leeches and all that, he bought a couple of good cases, import quality, brought it home. So, as he brought it home, he thinks to himself, right now it's about Asr time, so I'll go there, then after Maghrib, we'll go some Fugash, some Bayan and all that, come back after Isha, be nice, eat tight, then nice, everything will be laid out, nice and cool, refrigerated, I'll eat well. So as he comes in after Isha, expecting everything to be laid out for him, especially that mango that he bought, so the food was laid out, he ate, but that thing is not coming. So he asked his wife, "Bhai, uska aam ka kya hua? What happened to the mango?" He said, "Children couldn't resist and they ate. 89-90% they ate, and 10% of it was left. I couldn't resist. I wiped it out." So he didn't shout them. See, big people, they think big. Great people think great. One of us, I sweat for you people, and this is the reward I get. See, small people think small, great people think great. He thought for himself, you know what, hey, this is not all. He went, saw his bank balance, etc., left something for his wife and children and all that. Say, look for a prime spot, built a masjid, etc., do the gush and the talim, and some activities, maktab and all that, with that. There must be a prime spot, there must be a maktab there, there must be activity, jamaat coming and going out, so the mosque is brimming with activity. So his friend asked him, but how do you add this? You know, you saw that mango story and this happened, you know, that was a reaction to this. What happened here? Just, can you give me an explanation? So no, I worked it out in my mind. That these people, my children, couldn't do anything for me. Just that mango, so they couldn't do for me. Whilst I'm alive, when I'm dead, what will they do for me? Whilst I'm alive, they couldn't do for me. And in a moment, if I'm gone, what will they do for me? So I came to the conclusion that I need to do for myself. I can't depend on my wife or my children or anybody else to come and do for me. I need to do it for myself. So I said, my security plan, my cover, my funeral cover, my cover cover, I need to do it myself. So anyway, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he leaves the whole thing. Now I'm enough, and enough is enough. I've added it out, worked the whole thing in my mind. I need to just abandon this. He went out, searching for Allah Ta'ala. For everything that you are ambitious about, Allah Ta'ala has made a way. But you take the route. There is a route to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take the route, you will reach Him. The route must be right. And you will definitely reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But is the route right? Are you taking the right road? Ar-Rahman fas'al bi khabira. Surah Furqan, Allah Bak says, you want to reach Allah Ta'ala, the one that has got that acquaintance, he knows about Allah Ta'ala, he's got the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, he is disinterested in the world, he's interested in Allah Ta'ala and the akhirat. Do you go to such persons? Or do you go to people that will give you good stories? Are you very good, mashallah? Paplawa kare. Pamper you, keep on pampering you. Do you go to someone who tell you, "Bhai, you carry on like this, you going to catch it just now." Do you go to that person or do you go to this person? You know, some years back, after the Zuhr namaz, I was going home. So one wealthy person of the area, very well, from Durban, he came to Swingo. So I know him. Came abruptly, just stopped his murk. He asked me, "Sit in, Mullah, sit in." So I could see now he's disturbed now. He needs some explanation, something, whatever, something is disturbing him. So I said, "Bhai, Chasha, what happened?" He said, "Oh, you know, maaf to say this, but this old man is telling me, you know, had I been young, I would have been a Christian. Na'uzubillah." He said, "I had been young, I would have been a Christian. You know, look at Christianity when they show it on the screen, you know, death and on the laps of Christ. Welcome to the kingdom of Christianity. And here when they talk about deen, they talk about the azab of the qabr, etc. So you got no hopes here. No chance here. There's so much of chance." So anyway, I left the chacha because he was really fuming, you know. So when a person is in that state of mind, then you can't talk to him. So he's intelligent, very, very capable person. But he, at that time, he's emotional, so you can't talk to the person then. So I found another occasion, he called me for some work, so I went there. So I finished the work, everything, then I spoke to him. He said, see, you're traveling on the north coast or somewhere, right? And one person tells you, no, don't worry, your friend tells you, it's a very good road, police won't catch you, they won't trouble you, no fine you'll get. And what a beautiful scenery, scenic drive you'll have. And the other friend tells you, you know, you, if you're going to speed, break any limit, they're going to fine you. 1 million rand fine, they'll put you into prison, no stories, they will listen to you. So you go and you see that it is like what the second friend tells you. Will you appreciate what the first person told you? Say, I'll hit that person. He blocked me. He misled me. So exactly the same. Every other denomination is bluffing you. And you go and straight away Christ will embrace you and everything will happen for you. That is a bluff. It's a deception. Right? And here they're telling you the truth. What's going to happen exactly? In this world, there is a thing like individual responsibility. The same concept continues in the hereafter. It can't be he died for everybody's sins. You die with your sins. He dies with his sins. You're responsible for yourself. He dies for himself. He's responsible for himself. The same law applies here. You committed a wrong. You can't transfer the crime to him. You have to bear your own responsibility. So anyway, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah left everything and is moving on. So now I had enough of this. It's a winter's morning, winter's night in fact, and it's at Afghanistan area near Russia, right? So you can imagine now the winters how severe it will be. The distance he saw a masjid. So as he comes to that masjid, it's about Maghrib Isha time, ready Maghrib Isha, the caretaker of the masjid says, "Bhai, you ready Isha namaz? Now move it." So you know, I'm Ibrahim bin Adham. So you can be Ibrahim bin Adham or his father, but you move out from here. But kind of interview, it's so cold outside. So no, we've got problems here. People are stealing away the carpets, lights, the lamps, that time using lamps. They're stealing away these things, so we have to lock this place up. Anyway, got him out, put him onto the hammam, wherever they were. They used to use boilers those years. When we went to India, until then they were using boilers to heat the water supplied for the people coming for the masjid. Right? So put him near there. Now, as he comes to that hammam, where they're boiling the water for the musallis, etc., not even 5 minutes passed, and he saw one person pulling in. So Ibrahim bin Azam, out of courtesy, greeted the person, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you?" That man is not listening to any story, he did his job. To see that furnace, see everything is right. About 2 hours or 3 hours, did the whole thing, fixed the whole thing up, got it alight, seen the water is right, everything. Then he said, "Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Now, Ibrahim bin Azam saw that man, you can't talk to him. He seems to be a nice person. So this Busrugana Deen, they talk to every person according to their levels. If you're an ordinary person, they'll talk to you at your level. A sophisticated person, they'll talk to him at his level. So everybody, Anzilun Nasa Manazilau. So he asked him, "But you know, I greeted you in the first instance, but you didn't greet me. Now you greeted me after all this." So he says, "You see, this Masjid Trust has employed me for 3 hours. If I'm going to say wa alaikum salam, kiyam cho, haracho and all that, 2 minutes will go out. I'm stealing from their time. So when I'm going to steal from their time, that proportion, that 2 minutes will be haram of mine. I don't want any contamination. I don't want to play with Allah Ta'ala. It's fair and clean. I gave them 3 hours, my 3 hours remuneration I've got. So I know it's absolutely halal. I didn't do anything in that time. Not even greeted anybody at that time." See, that concern of halal and haram. You are what you eat, obviously. We see all the confusion going around. Largely it's on account of mixing everything up. Halal, haram, everything. Made it like a kachumar. And then you want that enthusiasm, that yearning to the hereafter to happen. Then it doesn't happen. There'll be an inconsistent attitude. One attitude, one person is taking you towards the fire. One is taking you towards jannat. Both got inconsistent attitude. It can't happen. It can't work out. So he says, "All right, you know what? I want to know the second thing from you. Is all right, what do you get out of this?" So I get about, in rands, I'm equating it into rands, about 225, 30 rands. "And what do you do with that money?" So 30 rands, I use it for myself and for my wife. And the 200 rands, I use it for my nephews. Because they have been orphaned, So I use it for them. This man is telling us a lot of stories. Because we are living in a land, in a world of democracy. What democracy wants? To be self-centered. Put a government in place, put a mechanism in place that will put a government, right? Mechanism that will create a government, but that mechanism must seem to be very fair. What is the outcome? They are worried about it. And Islam says, all right, the mechanism is important to place a government, but more important than the mechanism is the outcome. What is going to be the outcome of this government? Is it going to be fair, just, or is it going to be self-centered? What is it going to be? So therefore, democracy talks a lot about the system, the mechanism. Oh, they'll talk about, they'll extol the virtues of elections, how fair we are. But what happens afterwards, they're not worried about it. They will keep impressing upon the mechanism. What happens to the public, the dying and all that, starvation, hospitals are not right, everything is crashing. They're not worried about it. No, democratic. And Islam talks about something else. Islam talks about what's going to be the outcome. So this is a reflection of the world. World, presently as we live, is just about myself. It's about the show. It's about myself and the show, how I look amongst people. Handa, who care? What will people say? And Allah pak maaf kare. But this is gone so much, it's gone beyond, you know. Qurbani time is a show. Look at it, look anywhere now, Qurbani time is a show. It's a prize cattle or a prize goat, and I want to slaughter the thing and I must be camera. So who are you doing? Who are you doing for? Ma umiru illa liya'budullah mukhlisin. Who is it for? Is it for a show or is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're going to Makkah Mukarrama after the tawaf, like as though it became part of the tawaf. Now you've done the tawaf, now camera. You're not worried about the people around there, you're crashing into people, disturbing them. No, no. That is so important, it's so important. Came to Medina Munawwara, the whole ambiance of the masjid has been spoiled. Azan is going, you're seeing it with your eyes, you're seeing it. You know, a few years ago, without these cameras and photography, then there was pin drop silence at the time of Azan. Everybody's responding to the Azan. Now as the Azan is going, everybody's camera is towards the Muazzin. Ambiance of the masjid is gone. So the whole thing became like a show. Namaz is a show, the place, Medina becomes a show, Makkah Mukarrama becomes a show, Qurbani becomes a show. Then Allah Pak says, when you're doing it, an aghna shuraka, you get stuffed, do your own thing, I don't need this thing here. I don't need this partnership. Allah Pak says, I don't need the partnership. Do it and do it only for me, not for a show business. So everything has become a show. You know, we need to have some sight, some understanding, some reason. Just go and do this type of things, camera, and what happens? So many phones come. You know, sometimes it reaches, it gets you. So many phones come. A girl will say, all right, came of age, so we're playing around. That was Rami itself. Fiancé, whatever, they proposed, whatever, but they were carrying on. And in that now, as they talking and relating to each other, so it goes deeper and deeper. It doesn't remain at one level. Then they're photographed. They're sending the photos to each other. And then they want better photos, more scantily dressed, more awkward positions. And then they're sending it across. And then suddenly the family discovers that this boy is not the right person for you. You need to look for another person. Then they got to know the boy. He's not the right person. Now he blackmails. You ever do this, I will send these photos of yours viral. What happens to the girl? What happens to the future? So that's why I say, in these masail, we need to look a little bit deeper, have some sight and vision, legalize these type of things. What's going to be the end? The whole deen becomes a show. It becomes an embarrassment. The parents of this child, what do they think? What happens to them? Everything is devastated. Izzat nusar, everything is gone. Just a few years back, we didn't have all these things. Did we have these problems? And we started this thing, went into it. The whole ibadah is gone. The essence of that ibadah is gone. Whether you're in Makkah, whether you're in Medina, Munawwara, whether you're at home, but the whole essence of that ibadah is gone. Allah Pak says, I don't need this thing yet. An aghna shuraka, you're doing it for show. I don't need this. You get stuffed. So you're spending the thousands to go there and thousands to buy that qurbani animal. But Allah Pak says, I don't need it. So this man is telling us a lot of stories. His awareness, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, I got the money, but I need to spend it so that I can secure my hereafter. وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. But that person is orphaned, then you, the brother, has to take care. It's your compulsory duty. It's not an option. So he just spends a 30 on himself and the rest. He's not a democrat. He's not a democratic. He's an Islamic. When Islamic, then he spends what he needs for himself and his wife, the 200 rand for his bhatija, his brother's children. Anyway, Ibrahim bin Adham become very interested in this man here. So he says, you know what? I see you, and you're looking right, left, right, left. What's wrong with you? Why are you looking like this? Why are you so ghabra? So he says, you know, I don't know when death will just come out to me. When it will strike, I don't know. I'm looking right, left. When it will strike, I don't know. See the awareness, the consciousness. Now, these are the people that are applying the hadith. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّزَّاتِ. What will put you online? You see, it's like a train, you know. You want to reach Allah Ta'ala, obviously you have to come onto the line. The train is on the line, there's progress. But the train has hopped off, you can make all the noise, have all the show of the train. I ask you, the train, will it have any progress? It has to come onto line. And the line is Akhirat. Malik Yawmiddin, that is the line. You got that before you, you're online. And if that is out of you, then you're off the line. You can switch on that engine, make a lot of noise. You can have the best state-of-the-art train. But I ask you, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, are you going to make any progress? So you have to come back onto line. The line is the akhir, that consciousness that I'm going to meet Allah Ta'ala. I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. That's the line. Now this person here, as simple as they are, but they know it, they can see it. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِيُونَ. This ulama of the Bani Israel, they went totally off. And Labak says, this is easy. مُسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. You'll come right. It's a whole explanation. But the end of it is this, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. As long as you know you're going to meet Allah Ta'ala. You got that consciousness, I'm going to stand before Him. I want to give a total, absolute, complete hisab before Him. You'll be online. And the moment you have drifted off from that, no matter who you are, what genius and scientist you are, you've gone off. Khalas. The state-of-the-art train you've got, the best sounds you've got, but you cannot make any progress. Why you off the line? Come back onto the line. The line is Akhirat. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. So then he asks him, alright, all that is over now. He says, have you got any desire, any wish? See, I had one wish. I've been making this dua for 20 years. I had a desire. I've been making this dua for 20 years. What's the desire? So Allah Ta'ala, don't take me until I don't meet Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He doesn't know he's talking to him. So, well, I'm Ibrahim bin Adham. So he embraced him, kissed him, and all took his duas. Then, when he met him, then he says, Ya Allah, la hajata li fil hayat. قَدْ أُجِيبَ الدَّعْوَةِ فَقْبِذْنِي إِلَيْكَ. Now there's no need for me to live. My need is fulfilled. I wanted to meet this great saint person, saintly person. I've met him now. Well, Allah, take me away. And Ibrahim bin Adham says, he died there and there, at that spot. My time is all over now. I just want to share one thing that I'm speaking about now. In all the messages that I'm going to, I'm speaking about one thing. In fact, two things. We want to get this akhirat, that whole consciousness, that awareness. I say, that's the line. You got that, to the extent you have got it, you are moving online. And to the extent that you have taken it out of your life, consciousness, awareness of akhirat, Allah Ta'ala, then you've gone off. Now, there must be a starting point, how we can start off at least. I've been thinking about it already, for our type of lifestyle, is there anything that we can do? We have to meet Allah Ta'ala, obviously. So a simple thing that came to my mind, that 7 to 10 minutes before our normal time, we come to the masjid. Our normal time, say for example, we come in 5 minutes, so come even 8 minutes before that. You have read your sunnahs, you've still got about 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. For the 2-3 minutes, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Because you don't know, you've got no life on life, or you've got no guarantee on life. So, and the world outside is filled with guna. One side music is blasting, someone is making ghibat, you're talking of something not right, you're seeing something that is not right. Something is getting stuck in your heart. Who can say that is sitting here that the childhood memories of the school life of the girl that was sitting around him is not stuck in his heart. Can anybody say that? Some point, some memories do come. He cannot say that it is totally deleted. And now it's all the more worse. With all these phones and apps and all that you've got. Can anybody that is sitting here, can he say safely that I switched on and I didn't see something wrong? I was looking for the right thing, but in between something came in. Nazr-e fujaat. It's a wrong, alright? It's an accidental look, so you don't get guna for it. But when it's an accident and you keep on making an accident with the car, it'll be a write-off. So your heart will become a write-off just now. Although it's an accident, keep on making that accident, just now in a few days' time, it'll become a write-off. So anyway, you come at least 2-7 minutes before, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. What was wrong is happening. At least acknowledge. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayhi. Allah Ta'ala likes that. That you acknowledge, you accept, confess. Allah Ta'ala, I'm messing it up. Do forgive me. Give me tawfiq. Let me be righteous. And number two, after that, right, then think a little bit of death. Akhirat, Jannat, Jahannam. So at least in your namaz, it'll be Salli salata muwaddi'in. You think a little bit, even 2 minutes about Jannat, Jahannam, Qabar, Akhirat. My ghusl is being done now. They're taking my clothes out, putting my kafan on. Now they're taking me to the Qabristan. Now they're lowering me. All the ladies are crying, making dua, someone reading Surah Yasin, whatever. Just think of that sight. That sight will keep you on course. So at least for 2 minutes before the Ramadan, just think about that. So this is the one thing that I'm sharing with everybody, all my friends. And the second thing I'm sharing is that now we're moving to summer. Remember, we're coming to summer. So the nights are very short. So please, for Allah Pak's sake, unless it's an important dini program, it's an exception. But otherwise, our brais, our dawats, our walimas and all that, please, if you can have it before Isha Namaz. Everything is knocked up. Everything is cleared before Isha. After we reading Isha at home, in the masjid, after that we're going to sleep. So if we're sleeping in good time, then we're getting up in good time. We're sleeping late, and the Isha is done. Bain al yaqazati wa an-nawm. Half asleep, Fajr namaz reading, but half asleep, half awake. We say that Naeem, why is making this Fajr namaz so long today? I had to come in, so he's making the namaz, stretching the namaz. Why is he doing that? You're not blaming yourself that you had to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. You blame the Imam. Is it fair? You could have gone slept on time, then you would have blamed anybody. So you will enjoy that Fajr namaz. And apart from that, maybe you slept on time, so you could get up for tahajjud. And even if you didn't get up for tahajjud, after Fajr, you can sit, relax, read some Quran Sharif, make some tasbih. You start the day with peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole day will go peacefully. But you broke the peace with Allah ta'ala at night, then you went to sleep. And then the morning, the whole, you didn't start off well. Will the day go well for you? Think to yourself, will the day go well for you? First of all, your namaz didn't go well. Then you couldn't make Quran Sharif tilawat. You couldn't make a little bit zikr, nothing. You started off broken. So you will break throughout the day. But you started off peacefully. The whole day will be peaceful. You'll be in one peace, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. Lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه.